Welcome to Step Zero. I am your host, Caitlin Henry, life coach and sober curious turned curious for self-healing. Here, we'll dive into sober curiosity, emotional sobriety, personal growth, and spirituality. I didn't hit rock bottom. I chose to stop digging. So I went to the morning meeting this morning, and there was a daily reflection, and it was so good. It's just kind of where I'm at, and it really related. So I wanted to share it here. And part of it said, "Sometimes I scream, stomp my feet, and turn my back on my higher power. Then my disease tells me that I am a failure, and that if I stay angry, I'll surely get drunk. In those moments of self-will, it's as if I've slipped over a cliff and I'm hanging on by one hand. The above passage is my safety net in that it urges me to try some new behavior, such as being kind and patient with myself. It assures me that my higher power will wait until I am willing, once again, to risk letting go, to land in the net, and to pray." And so where this hits home for me is that, one, sobriety is about trying new behaviors. Two, being patient and kind with myself. So often I'm patient and kind with other people. Sometimes I'm impatient, sometimes especially with my children. But so often I give other people grace, and it's like, why can't I give myself that grace? Like right now, I'm just feeling like I'm really struggling with being kind to myself and showing up exactly as I am. And I realized it's because I am not willing to risk letting go. I don't believe there's going to be a net, and I haven't prayed. So it's like this last part here where it says, "It assures me that my higher power will wait until I am willing." And that's the thing about sobriety for me that has taught me, like, I can't just get angry and defiant and not believe that there's a higher power who's looking out for me. It might just be that I haven't been willing to do the things that my higher power is waiting for, which is actually asking for help. I so rarely will ask for help. I used to think it was a sign of weakness, and I wanted everyone to think that I had it all together and that I could just do everything myself. And what I've realized from sobriety is that admitting I'm weak and asking for help not only has helped heal me, but then it gives that person an opportunity to help me, which then keeps them sober. And it's like this one big cycle of asking for help and allowing someone else to help me brings that person joy. And I'm actually robbing them of that joy if I'm not asking for help. And this is why with alcoholics, like picking up the phone and talking to another alcoholic helps so much. Working with others in sobriety helps so much. Me meeting with a sponsee or meeting my own sponsor and her helping me or me helping her is what keeps me sober. And what I like to say about this willingness to ask for help is my favorite story. My daughter years ago, she must have been 4 or 5. It's my middle child. And she's a bit defiant. She has this willpower to her that's like, I've got this. I can do this on my own. And she reminds me a lot of myself when I was little. It's huge for me to watch her and to reparent myself through parenting her. And so there was this story that it's just stuck in my head. I was in my mirror one time doing my makeup, and I'm just standing there alone. And she walks in, and she's got clothes in her hand because she has pajamas on, and she's going to change into her regular clothes. And so I'm doing my makeup and I'm kind of paying attention to myself, but I'm noticing her out of the corner of my eye, and she starts to undress and she's going to put on her underwear, and she is struggling. Like she's yanking them up, but kind of doing it on purpose, just like defiantly, like, ugh, ugh. And it wasn't that she was necessarily having a ton of trouble. I'm not sure if she just wanted my attention, but she was struggling. And I wasn't saying anything. And I was looking down at her, and then I was looking back at myself, and I was like, I'm not going to say anything. And a couple minutes in, maybe not a couple seconds, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, she ends up you know, just kind of crying out in desperation, but still not asking for help. And I look down at her and I say, Ellie, if you need help, I'm right here, but I don't know that you need help until you ask me. And immediately this download came through of, oh my gosh, that's what my higher power thinks of me. I'm sitting here. I'm so defiant. I'm acting like I don't want help. I'm acting like I've got this. I'm handling my life, my willpower, my way. And in all reality, if I were to just release control and to ask my higher power, whether that's through prayer, meditation, or just having this inner dialogue conversation that I'll have sometimes when I'm, again, aware of it, my higher power is waiting to help me. But my higher power is not going to help me unless I ask for help. And again, this looks like maybe an inner dialogue or maybe actually saying it out loud. I've been at points in my sobriety where I've gotten down on my knees and begged for help because I just can't do it on my own anymore. And so my daughter having this experience and me being able to look down at her and me being able to understand my higher power's perspective has relinquished some of the, I don't know how to put it, like it's made me more humble. It's relinquished my ego, I guess. It said, okay, ego, you might want to handle this. You might want to do it on your own. And a lot of my youth, I did a lot on my own, I feel like I learned very early on that I needed to take care of myself and to manage my feelings and emotions on my own. And so now when I can release that ego and when I can get humble and when I can say I'm willing to receive help, it comes. It truly comes. I've had experiences in my life where I've mentioned before my God shots where if I release control sometime in the morning, by the afternoon, I have some sort of story about how God showed up in my life. And it's through people. It's through my experiences. And so even today, I wanted to talk a little bit today about how I woke up and sometimes I just don't know where I'm supposed to be. And so I'll pray, God, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say? And to whom? And sometimes I get a direct hit and I know what to do. And other times I'm like, okay, I said the prayer. Like, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And sometimes I just make a cup of coffee and I run out the door to a meeting because when I don't know where to go, what to do, or what part of my to-do list to tackle, going to a meeting helps me reset. And I even had a 10-minute meditation today that did not reset me to a place where I knew what I should or shouldn't be doing. And when I say knew what I should or shouldn't be doing, it's like, again, removing that ego of like, well, I should be doing this, that, or the other thing. But it's like God's day is already like been planned out for me specifically. So when I can just release control and lean in, it makes it easier to go about my day. And my sponsor actually reminded me of that this morning. That is not something that came into my awareness until I gave her a call after the meeting. So again, these tools from the program, whether it's a meeting, whether it's talking to a sponsor, whether it's talking to a sponsee, whether it's reading a passage like the Daily Reflection, a lot of people read pages 86, 87, whatever it is just another tool to help keep me sober today. And so I'm so grateful that, again, she always reminds me to stay where my feet are, to just be where I am. And I wasn't even planning on recording a podcast today, but I thought I need to get this out. And it's not in the form of writing. I've already been to a meeting. I already called my sponsor. There's something else on my heart that needs to come out today. And for me, that's in speaking form. And it's about being of service and sharing my truth. So to go back to the fact that I ran out of the house and got to a meeting today, I was sitting in the chair and I actually shared about how now when my life is so good, it's important for me to get to a meeting. Just as important as when my life feels in shambles and I've gone through a lot of grief in these last 2 years, I lost my father to alcohol and cancer. I lost my sponsor. She had 20 plus years of sobriety, and she also passed away from cancer. And I have dealt with immense loss. And it's like, no matter what, if I go to a meeting, I know I can sit there and I can cry and I can get it out and I can feel my feelings and therefore process my grief quicker. And then if my life is going really good, I like to go to a meeting to remind me to stay grounded, to stay in the fact that my life is good because I am sober, because I didn't drink. And this weekend ended up proving to be a little bit harder for me than I expected. I went on a vacation. I always call it a vacation when there's no kids. And then if you go on a trip with your kids, it's just a trip. A vacation is where you actually have the freedom to just feed yourself, nourish yourself, take care of yourself. And for me, not feed three little mouths and worry about them the whole time and keeping everybody safe at the pool. And so I went on this vacation, and it was a yoga retreat in Tulum. And you would think like yoga and wellness and meditation and grounding. And while we did yoga and while parts of it felt very grounding, it was a bit harder than expected because the group was a group of partiers, a group of drinkers, a group of like experimenting with other things group. And it's not an issue for me to be around that and want to drink or to want to use. I got offered mushrooms multiple times. It's not that that makes it hard anymore. It's more like, how do I fit in here as who I am today? I love being sober. I love the fact that I don't have to pick up a substance to go outside of myself. I really love just being with myself and who I am today. But being around that type of energy and being around that much frequency, like the levels where I felt like I was at one frequency and everyone else was at another. And whether they were vibrating higher or lower, I don't know. But being around frequencies that are just different, because we're energy beings, we're made of water, and everything has an energy to it, a frequency to it. And I'm just a highly sensitive person. I pick up on those energies. And I was doing really well all weekend, and I was on and chatting with people. And for me, as an introverted extrovert, I love like connecting with other people and finding those experiences fulfilling, but I need a lot of recharge time. And I didn't feel like I had a lot of recharge. And so coming back into like the real world today, it's like straight into schedules. I've got a little girl sick home from school. You know, one of my daughters is sick. And then it's going into full-time entrepreneurship, of which I need a lot of motivation on my own to get going. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I so uncomfortable? I just had this vacation. I just had so much downtime, let's put it that way, and incredible meals. I did a lot of, you know, two yogas a day and a lot of barefoot walks on the beach. Like, why don't I feel more grounded? Why don't I feel like I rested and I recharged? And so coming into today and analyzing those feelings and emotions, I was telling my sponsor on the phone, I felt like I was hungover. And I was like, well, that's not fair. I didn't get to drink this weekend. I didn't get to do the mushrooms. Like I didn't do any of that stuff. Why do I feel hungover? And thankfully, it's not an energy depleted, like I'm so hungover, I need to lay in bed, I can't get anything accomplished hungover. It's more like an anxiety-ridden uncomfortability that's like sitting inside of me. And so today I get to analyze that. And instead of laying in bed or nursing a hangover some, you know, way that I used to, I now get to work through it. So again, what that looked like today was waking up and remembering to meditate because I didn't get a chance to do any of my morning routine while I was there. And then I journaled, which I don't think I gave myself enough time to journal. So I'm going to go back later and probably journal a little bit more about this. And then it's jumping into going to a meeting. and saying, I need to reset in the way that I now reset. And it doesn't look the way it used to. And I think I was like grieving a little bit about, you know, the last day we got in the car and I'd gotten through the whole trip and I hadn't drank. And then this guy gets in the car and he moved all the bottle of tequila into a water bottle that he brought into the car service to the airport with us. And in my head, I was thinking, oh my God, I would have drank every night and I would have continued to drink Sunday on my way to the airport on a 2-hour car ride to the airport, by the way. Tulum, Mexico is a ways. And I'm sitting there, and while it wasn't hard to grab for that drink in the moment, I think later it was just like, wow, like I don't do that anymore. And what does my life look like without that? And I'm not a shit show at the airport, like acting like I'm having so much fun, when in reality, that alcohol, if I had partaken in the alcohol at that moment on my way to the airport and then at the airport had more, it just would have led to something that would have been even more anxiety producing. So if I'm on an anxiety scale right now and there's a 1 is low and 10 is high, I'm probably at a 5 today. But I know for sure if I had alcohol all weekend and into the airport and then woken up today, I would be at a 10. And that would have infected not only my Monday, but possibly seeped into my whole week. And I for sure would have opened up a bottle of wine tonight, or I for sure would have found a way to meet girlfriends and go have drinks. I don't have my kids tomorrow night. Like, I would have found a way to then be like, well, I just need alcohol. I need to have another drink to make this anxiety go away. And all that used to do for me is manipulate the cycle. It used to say, again, I'd wake up and I'd be like, I'm hungover. I don't want to drink. Guess what? By the evening time, I want to drink. And I'm so glad to be out of that cycle, because as uncomfortable as I am at a 5 anxiety level today, I am so grateful that that anxiety level will likely dissipate. It's 10 a.m. now. It will dissipate by early afternoon. I won't need a drink later to get over it. I will have worked through it because I've used the tools of the program. And again, prayer, meditation, going to a meeting, calling my sponsor. I also did gratitude lists with my sponsees, and then I send it to some girlfriends. And then if I still feel uncomfortable after this, I know I can always revisit the tools. I'm going to journal again later today. I'm going to find ways to reach out to another sober friend, maybe even meet up with one of my best sober friends for a coffee and just give myself a break, that not everything always has to feel or look perfect. My schedule for today did not pan out the way that I thought it would, but at the same time, it's even more beautiful because I am getting more comfortable in my own skin. Guess what? I'm getting more comfortable on this podcast. I want to speak from the heart, and I want to talk to you guys the way that I hear others talking in meetings, and the way I speak in meetings is just from this place of truth. How did I not drink yesterday? How did I not drink this weekend? And then sharing my experience, strength, and hope of how I didn't and how I never regret not drinking the next day. I do not regret not drinking in Tulum, Mexico. I would never have said that before. I have an entire episode about holidays. I am planning on doing an entire episode about vacations because it's real. I've been on multiple vacations where I have dealt with many uncomfortable moments, but I've never regretted not drinking on them. And I can't say the same about vacations before where I did drink. And then I'd come home and I'd be like, where was the rest? Where was the relaxation? Where was the rejuvenation of what a vacation is supposed to do for our souls? And it's because society tells us that we need this substance in order to check out and in order to feel relaxed. And what I realized in hindsight is that it never really relaxed me. Sure, I felt like, oh my God, I can just like not give a shit about what I'm doing or what I'm saying. And I'd wake up the next day with regrets about a snide comment I might have said to my partner, or you know, I might have said too much to someone I didn't know enough about and then offended them in some way without even knowing it. And it's like, I just don't have those moments anymore. And I'm just so grateful for my sobriety today. And so again, I'll do a future episode about vacations and what they've looked like in the past, I realized, and then what they've looked like in the present, and then tips and tools for how I've gotten through those vacations or trips. And I'm really excited for what's to come, because as these weekly podcasts are coming out, I just want to offer people a solution to if they're feeling the same way I felt. And again, I did not judge one other person who was drinking or using mushrooms on this trip. It was more like an observation. I was observing them as, is that what I want to be doing? Like, I still have the choice every day. I can pick up a drink at any time. I can choose to, someone offered me a chocolate mushroom. I could have taken that and eaten it. But what I like to do now is observe, is that the kind of person I want to show up as? Is that how I want to show up today? And it's just not. And it's, again, not that I'm judging them whatsoever. If they're having fun and they feel good about it, I think that's great. But for me personally, I know how I felt on the inside, and I did not feel great about it. And I was not feeling good. And so these podcasts are really for that person. If you're looking for the solution, I'm just here to provide my experience, strength, and hope, and for you to apply it to your life in any way that might help keep you sober just for today. That's what it's all about. Is it's a we program, is what my first sponsor always said. It's a we program where we have to do this thing together. And for anyone who's not a part of AA or not a part of meetings, I'm here again just to offer that experience, strength, and hope. And I look forward to future episodes where I can do so. So thank you for listening today. I have no clue what my episode for next week will be, because this is off the cuff, but I am looking forward to future episodes again about relevant events to today. So thanks for listening. I'm so grateful for you listening. If this resonated with you, please share it with a friend that you feel needs to hear this. I would love it if you would follow the podcast and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Instagram, caitlin.henry, and check out my website for more, caitlinhenry.com. All links are in the show notes. My book is launching March of 2025. I hope you heard something that keeps you coming back.